Commissioner always likes there, and there we are.
Members, please take your seats, and our other friends, either take a seat or take your conversations outside, please. Representative Garofalo, that means you as well. Thank you for joining the Ag Committee, too, by the way. Call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. We have the minutes in front of us, dated January 11th, 2011. Do we have anybody to...
I'll move it.
Representative Morrow makes the motion to approve the minutes for January 11th, 2011. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So today, members, we have a special guest. I believe he's in the room. There we go. We have a special guest. We'd like to come up and address the group. It's the newly appointed commissioner. Most of us know him. If not, it'll be nice to have the introductions here today. And just a little bit about Commissioner David Fredrickson. He is a former state representative from 1987 to 93, I believe.
Actually, I was in the other body.
Senate.
I always wanted to be in this body.
Yes, very well. State senator, thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
Fourth generation farmer and also a strong advocate for farmers and agricultural issues. I believe you were the president of the National Farmers Union, is that correct?
Correct.
And, of course, the Agricultural Outreach Director for the U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, too. It is my pleasure to welcome you here today and to address the group. So, with that, Commissioner, I'll turn it over to you. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, and please proceed.
Well, thank you so much, Chairman Hamilton and members. It's a great privilege and obviously a great honor for me to serve in the capacity of Commissioner of Agriculture in Minnesota. Gene Hugeson is an old friend of mine, and the transition is gone wonderfully well. Somebody asked me at one point how the transition will go, and I said transitions between friends always go very well. And I'm pleased to say that it has. The last 2 weeks have gone by in a flurry. After the first week, I made a decision to come back for the second week, and this week is going pretty well, and so it looks like maybe I'll take a shot at a third one. At my advanced age, you know, you can always step out of the bus, right?
That's right.
But again, I'm enjoying the opportunity over at the department. Let me just give you a quick background about me. I was the middle child of three, born to parents out in a little town called Murdoch, Minnesota. One of your members, I believe a member of the committee, Andrew Falk, or maybe is he on the committee?
Right up here, Commissioner.
Andrew, yeah, well, you're hiding behind two microphones. And I have the goods on Andrew Falk, and so...
very nice, Commissioner. We'll talk later.
If he messes around, yeah. Mr. Chairman, just let me know. I'll deliver. Andy grew up just up the road, as we say out in Murdoch, just up the road a piece from where I and my wife and family farmed for many, many years. I left home and went to college, and I taught for 4 years. I taught behavior problem kids, much like Andrew, and thought came back home to the farm. My father passed away from leukemia, and I'm married to my childhood, my high school sweetheart, not my childhood, it was my high school sweetheart, Kay, and I've been married for 45 years. We came back home to the farm. My brother is a practicing veterinarian in Anchorage, Alaska, don't ask me why, and my sister is a retired school teacher from a little town up in western Minnesota, a little town called Furman. We farmed there for 24 years, and in the meantime, made a decision to run for a Senate seat, and when the dust and the smoke had settled in 1986, I had won the seat by 32 votes. So my colleagues referred to that as a landslide. The next go-around, I won by 270 votes. And so how many of you can boast a nine-time increase in your numbers?
Many.
I thought it was pretty good. After that, after my second term, I recognized that every now and then an innocent person is sent to serve in the legislature, and decided I'd go back home again. On the way home, we continued to farm in Murdoch. I visited with the some folks at the Farmers Union, and Kent Eakin's father, Willis, former majority leader here in the Minnesota House, was leaving the presidency of the Minnesota Farmers Union, and the question was, would you be willing to serve an unexpired term? And I thought, yeah, you know, I checked my watch and said, I think I could do that. And that ended up being 10 and a half, 11 years over at the Minnesota Farmers Union. Willis then, of course, went on home and to the farm, and we're so pleased to see Kent Eakin here representing the district. I then went on to serve as president of the National Farmers Union. I spent two terms as president of the National Farmers Union based out of here in Minnesota. Our office was in Denver, Colorado, and we also had an office in Washington, D.C., so I spent a significant amount of time triangulating across the United States, racking up a significant amount of obviously air miles, as you do. Quinn from our office has told me that it would be a wise idea not to tell a story about falling asleep at the wheel, but I think it's okay. I'm going to anyway. Sorry, Quinn. During the time that I was toward the end of my work with National Farmers Union, I was driving to a little town out in western Minnesota called Woodstock. I want to say I remember Woodstock, but they say if you say you remember Woodstock, you weren't there. This is a different Woodstock out by Pipestone. And I had been in the air a fair amount, traveling a significant amount, and was a little tired. It was October. I got in my vehicle, an old Ford pickup, and I was heading out. And my wife said, don't forget to put the belt on. I said, sure, of course I will. I did, and she said, probably should have a cup of coffee on the way out. She said, yeah, I'll stop in Hutchinson, or I'll stop someplace and grab a cup of coffee. And keep in mind, I'd been on the road just solid, and somewhere out between Hutchinson and Cosmos, it was a beautiful fall day, crisp morning. I got in the vehicle, strapped in, turned the radio on to some great music, cranked the heater up, and next thing you know, I dozed off at the wheel and drove right up the back end of a farm grain truck going down Highway 7. He was doing about 30, and I was doing about 60. So I came to an abrupt stop and ended up in the Litchfield Hospital, and my wife came out, picked me up. The truck went off to the junkyard. And I was fine. A couple of weeks later, I was on my way out of Mexico City into Houston, and then from Houston on up to the Twin Cities, and we were somewhere between Houston and the Twin Cities, and the plane was struck by lightning, and this huge ball of fire comes out from underneath the plane, and I thought to myself, I think I've just had a sign. And so I retired as the president of the National Farmers Union. I stared out the window for a year. My wife chased me out of the house and said, go get something, find something to do. I can't stand you around here any longer. And so Senator Klobuchar was elected to office. I've spent the bulk of my life involved in ag policy. I worked with her for 4 years as an ag outreach and ag policy person, assisted her as we went through the crafting and drafting of the 2007 Farm Bill. And I know that you all have obviously an interest in federal policy. That's where the money is, obviously. And so I bring to you many years of experience in ag policy and ag outreach, and I'm just very, very pleased to be here today. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. If you have any questions, Mr. Chairman, I'd be pleased to take them. We also have members of the department here today to give you an update. Keep in mind, I've been there 7 days now. So the learning curve in terms of the department is obviously steep, and so I'm working on that.
Well, right, and I tell you what, we can't thank you enough for coming over here and addressing us today. Do we have any questions or comments? Representative Eakin, please.
I will not yield, Mr. Chairman, for Eakin, all right?
So we'll stick to comments then, Representative
sure,
Eakin.
Sure, so thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Fredrickson. And I still remember the first time I heard of who you were was when you were taking over the Minnesota Farmers Union, and my parents both spoke very highly of you And I remember coming back and saying how impressed they were by you, and that the Farmers Union was going to be left in good hands. They knew that, and obviously that was recognized at the national level too, because you became president of the National Farmers Union. And I was interested in your national perspective and working with Senator Klobuchar as well. Obviously, a lot of the money is coming from the federal government for our farm program, and if there's things that we should be especially aware of as we're, you know, developing our budget here, so that we don't close down avenues for federal funds to agriculture and to our rural communities, if you'd have any advice on that, and
well, I think
programs in particular or just general.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Eakin, absolutely, and of course you're going to hear today from members of the department. Kurt Markham is here. From the Ag Marketing Division, we'll talk about the importance of trade. That's obviously very important to farmers here in Minnesota. I also think, just on a personal level, I think that that the department should obviously focus on enhancing opportunities all across the state. I don't care what kind of farmer is out there. I think we ought to work on behalf of Minnesota agriculture. I don't think it's our responsibility to pick and choose a form, a structure. I think that should be up to individual farmers to do that. And I want the department to be a hired person for all forms of agriculture here in Minnesota, and I commit to Representative Eakin to doing that. As it relates to future farm bills, absolutely, I think we ought to be talking back and forth about that, and I want to certainly play a role in continuing that dialogue and making it stronger.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I want to offer my congratulations as well, Commissioner, and just add that when you were on the staff of Senator Klobuchar, I called your office a number of times. You always got back to me, and we worked together well, whether it was on trying to find a place for goat's milk to be sold or whatever.
I remember that.
I appreciate your willingness to work with all of us across the aisle or whatever, so welcome, and I look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Anderson, thank you very much for that.
So, any other questions, members? No. Well, Commissioner, thank you so much. We really look forward to working with you, and congratulations on your appointment. You are welcome to join us at these hearings anytime.
Thank you.
So it's an open invitation.
Thank you very much. I know I have to go before the Senate Ag Committee, Mr. Chairman, for confirmation, so I'm here right now. So,
well, good luck with that, all right? We'll send over a good word, Commissioner.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. That's right. All right. Next, if we could invite the department up, Ms. Cheney. And Ms. Keeney, Robin Kinney. If you would please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, and please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Quinn Cheney, Policy Director at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and I'm here today to give, as you requested, an overview of the department. I am, as Policy Director, I'm the person that you'll work with as you have constituent questions. I can answer any questions about the department, or get those that I can't answer, I'll always get you to the right person. So
Ms. Cheney, who'd you bring with you today?
This is Robin Kinney. She is our Assistant Commissioner at the department, and she oversees the non-regulatory divisions, which I'll explain in further detail as I get into this.
Very well. Please. Welcome.
I thought I'd start with a quick overview of the impact of agriculture in Minnesota. Minnesota's agriculture has a long history, as you all know, of serving as an economic cornerstone for the state's economy. More than half of our state's total land is farmland, and agriculture supports many other industries such as manufacturing, transportation, wholesale and resale trade, services, construction, banking, insurance, real estate, and the list goes on. The ag industry is the second largest economic sector after manufacturing, and it's also the second largest employer in the state. 80% of Minnesota's jobs are off-farm, and 1 in 5 jobs is ag-related. And then I'll talk a little bit more about trade later, but our exports, Minnesota's ag exports, bring in $4 billion each year to Minnesota. Our mission is to enhance Minnesotans' quality of life by ensuring the integrity of our food supply, the health of our environment, and the strength of our agricultural economy. And the agency is really structured closely around this mission. We have the two-pronged role of both regulation and promotion. We're the primary agency in protecting the state's food supply and a key player in protecting the state's environment and natural resources. We're also the primary agency for nurturing a healthy agricultural economy. You just met our commissioner, Dave Fredrickson, who we're very pleased to have on board. And there's a picture here of the Freeman Building, which is where our agency is located in the Capitol Complex. For many years, we were actually housed in a rented office building across the street in St. Paul. I'm sure many of you have been there. But as technology advanced, it became clear that the laboratory there in particular was inadequate and inappropriate to be housed with all of the, in the same place with all the rest of the employees. And so in 2005, the legislature, we finally moved to the new building that had been approved by the legislature. And we have 420 employees in the new building right now, and we share the space with the Department of Health, which has really worked out well because on the, particularly the issues that the laboratory oversees and our dairy and food division, they work really closely together with the Department of Health on tracking down those foodborne illnesses, the peanut situation a few years ago, tomatoes. The joint team of Department of Ag and Department of Health really is the one nationally that found, tracked that all the way to the source.
And Ms. Cheney, we'll probably look at scheduling a tour of that building as well and take a look at that firsthand.
So. We would love to have you. Thank you.
So, Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Cheney, just while we're on the building, I seem to remember there were issues. It's a rent-owned building, correct? Isn't there a period of time where we... Could you get us some information, or if you have it, on just what the costs are for what we're paying in terms of rent and when that gets paid off so that when the agency owns the building?
Ms. Cheney.
Oh, Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I'd be happy to get that information for you.
Thank you. Please continue.
I'm going to talk, Mr. Chair, about the non-regulatory divisions today, and then I'll cover the regulatory divisions next week. Our non-regulatory divisions include Ag Marketing Services, Ag Development, and Financial Assistance. Our regulatory divisions are the Dairy and Food Inspection Services, Pesticide and Fertilizer Management, Plant Protection, and the Laboratory. And then, of course, we also have just the standard agency services like IT, Finance and Budget, Human Resources, and, of course, the Commissioner's Office. We'll go into more detail on another day, I understand, on the budget, but just to give you some base numbers, the total biennial budget is $165.34 million. And as you can see, that's divided up between the general fund, the ag fund, which is fees, and other sources, which is a variety of different other fees and transfers and things like that, and then federal funds. Part of the non-regulatory.
Excuse me, Ms. Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Chair Hamilton. And Chair Hamilton, I'm wondering if Ms. Cheney might just tell us, am I correct in understanding that ag is less than 1% of the general fund of the state budget overall?
Ms. Cheney.
As I recall, I think it's 0.2%.
Excellent. Representative Morrow? Yeah. All right, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair. One of the divisions I'm going to talk about today is the Ag Marketing Services Division. They're responsible for a variety of promotional programs, including developing our domestic market, that's renewable fuels development, the Minnesota Grown Program, and other value-added markets. They also handle the international trade and export market development. And finally, they provide support for producers, showcasing Minnesota food products at companies and international trade shows, providing support for the commodity councils in Minnesota, and we also have a team that works with livestock development, providing advice and guidance to livestock producers on both environmental issues and production issues. As you all probably know, Minnesota is a national leader in renewable fuels development, and that's one of the things the Ag Marketing Services Division has worked very hard on. We have 21 ethanol plants in Minnesota and 4 biodiesel plants. We have more than 1 billion gallons in annual production capacity. And the economic impact of all of that is $2.5 billion in economic impact and 6,000 jobs in Minnesota. Most of the facilities are farmer-owned, and a lot of them have really been involved in innovative technological advancements to just get more efficient in water use, more efficient in the production and increasing capacity, as well as using different feedstocks to produce energy and making sure that they use every last component so they make the ethanol or the biodiesel, but then they also use all of the byproducts. Minnesota is also a leader in the use of ethanol. We have 360 E85 stations and about 225,000 flex fuel vehicles on the road in Minnesota. The Ag Marketing Services also oversees policy, and Minnesota is a leader in the national policy for ethanol. Currently, all gasoline sold in Minnesota must contain 10% ethanol, and the legislature directed the department to work with the EPA on getting approval for 20% ethanol to be used, and the deadline for that is 2013. We've also surpassed all the statutory ethanol production goals in 2008. On biodiesel, Minnesota again is a national leader. We have on the books a 2% biodiesel requirement for all diesel fuels sold in Minnesota. That went into place in 2005. In 2009, we moved to B5 year-round. And in 2012, we'll go to B10 in the summer and remaining at B5 in the winter, and 2015, B20 in the summer and still B5 in the winter. One of our most popular programs is among constituents is the Minnesota Grown program, which is one that really reaches out to the urban population as well as the rural population in Minnesota. It was started in 1988, and it's a statewide partnership between MDA and specialty crop and livestock producers. It's really been a great success, a great example of a partnership, because for every general fund dollar that's invested, $4 more, that leverages $4 more in private investment. So it's the private sector is also investing in the Minnesota Grown program to succeed, buying advertisements, et cetera. The Minnesota Grown, to qualify for the Minnesota Grown program, you have to have 80% grown or raised on Minnesota farms, and processed food can be eligible if it can be traced back to the farm where it came from. We have more than 1,100 licensed members, of which Representative Szymanski is one. And he pays, as do others, a $20 annual license, and for that he can use the logo, the Minnesota Grown logo, in selling his product, and stores selling the product can also use the logo. He's listed in our annual directory and online, and a lot of people, we have just a huge amount of website hits for people going to look for farms where they can buy Minnesota Grown products, stores where they can buy Minnesota product, you pick farms, that sort of thing. And the program really has been successful. We have a net gain of 45 members per year.
Yep. Excuse me. Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I just may weigh in. Ms. Cheney, I think the latest report was something like 200,000 unique hits on the Minnesota Grown website. So it means we're getting a lot of penetration in the marketplace across Minnesota.
Right. Very nice.
Check that out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cheney, can you tell us what percent of producers in the state belong to Minnesota Grown, and what percent do not comparatively?
Ms. Cheney?
Chairman Hamilton, if it would be okay, I'm going to let Kurt Markham from our agency handle that question. He's the director of the division.
Very good. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Kurt Markham, Minnesota Department of Ag. I'm the Ag Marketing Services Director. We have 1,100 members that belong to the Minnesota Grown. It's grown at about 10% a year. And the state of Minnesota has 80,000 farmers. 80,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cheney.
Another component of the Ag Marketing Services Division is international trade and creating new export opportunities for our agriculture products. Minnesota is consistently among the top largest ag and food exporters in the U.S. We export a total of $5.4 billion of product annually, and our ag exports have increased about 250% in the past 15 years. And there's a chart that shows some of the places that we export to, some of our top countries that we export to. Minnesota companies have reported to us that they have seen a $15 million increase in sales as a result of more recent MDA-sponsored trade missions to Cuba, Vietnam, Taiwan, and China, and a return on investment of $633.
Okay. Excuse me, Representative Morrow?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, Ms. Queen, Ms. Cheney, could you at a future date give us a breakdown on the different countries that are listed on this slide, and if we get an idea of what we're exporting, that'd be terrific.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morrow, in your packets, there's a little bit more information about that in this brochure. And also, behind the PowerPoint presentation is a handout that looks like this. And it actually has some additional information, but I can certainly talk to you and see what more I can provide for you.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Ms. Cheney, I'm especially interested as folks talk about increasing trade to Cuba, what we're already sending to Cuba, and where there might be avenues for exploring expansion of trade with Cuba.
Yes. Ms. Cheney.
I'm happy to provide that information, Mr. Chair, Representative Morrow.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Finally, the last component of our Ag Marketing Services Division that I'm going to talk about today is the Livestock Development Team and Services. They administer livestock licensing, bonding, and weighing services. We also have the Dairy Profitability Enhancement Program, which is teams of advisors that go out to farms and help farmers work through their issues that might be affecting their profitability, help them be better business managers. They work with a variety of issues that the farm might be facing, and just providing some advice and guidance on what to do. We also provide some planning grants that can help farmers implement some of the things that the advisors recommend. The teams also provide outreach to local units of government and to livestock producers with the goal of helping to improve and transition or grow Minnesota's livestock farms and related businesses. And the total biennial budget for this division is almost $7.2 million in our base budget. There's about 21 FTEs. And as you can see, the biggest section for this division is general fund money, is with 3.2 general fund. They have some fee collection from those livestock weighing services. And they actually got a fairly large size federal grant this year dealing with specialty crops. Moving on to the Ag Development and Financial Assistance Division, this is a division that is really one of our primary divisions that works with promotion of environmentally friendly ag and land use practices. They work on water quality enhancement and ag land preservation and integrated pest management, which I always am kind of interested by. It's essentially using good bugs to get rid of the bad bugs, but we have people who can provide a far more technical explanation of that. We also, in this division, work on the organic and sustainable agriculture, both promotion and helping farms that want to transition to being organic, helping them with that transition. We provide low-interest loans to beginning farmers and others through the Rural Finance Authority, using ag BMP loans, and we have some sustainable agriculture loans. And then finally, we also have created a couple years ago the Minnesota Farmer Assistance Network, which is, again, another partnership that we have with the ag groups all over the state, as well as agribanks, lenders, et cetera, and also some just general mental health support services. This was a program that we created when the economy really started to turn, and we were getting stories of hogs that were left unfed on farms and without any sort of air conditioning in the summertime. So really some sad stories, and there were some cases, I think there were one or two suicides as a result of the hardship that farmers were facing. So we started this program to really leverage all of the state's groups, agricultural groups, to provide, again, guidance, connect them with the right people, whether it's at an agribank or a suicide hotline or mental health counseling, to try and make sure that we got everybody, that nobody was kind of left out in the cold.
Excuse me. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cheney or Ms. Kinney, wondering on ag development or just outreach to the public, in the metro area, there's been kind of a resurgence interest in local foods that's led to, and I noticed this when I was door knocking in my district, backyard chicken coops, and there's actually a metro chicken coop tour, I think, going around for people growing their own chickens in the backyard, and I would think the expertise that is available, folks may not be aware of. Another one is honeybees, that there's an interest in setting up hives in backyards, you may be aware or not that this is going on, but I would think there might be an outreach opportunity there for getting the technical information that's available that people may not know is available.
Mr. Chair and Representative.
Yeah, Ms. Kinney.
Nelson, absolutely, and thank you for the commercial advertising for the Organic Conference, which does begin on Friday, and a number of the areas that you just highlighted will be focused there. That will be held in St. Cloud on Friday and Saturday. You are correct. In both our Ag Marketing and Ag Development Division, we have been working on the local foods initiatives, the farm-to-school initiatives, and also to be sure that we have all segments of agriculture represented. And I think we've got great synergy between the staff and working together and addressing those issues. So,
very nice. Thank you. Representative Hansen? All right. Ms. Cheney, please. Please continue.
A little more about our Development and Financial Assistance Division. This is the group that really helps agricultural producers meet their environmental goals. And again, we use we have some ag best management practices loans, or also known as BMP loans. We do a lot of on-farm research and demonstration projects, working with innovative farming practices such as conservation, drainage, and uses of cover crops to help protect. We also work on just ensuring the viability of agriculture at that urban and rural interface level, providing land use outreach and technical assistance, agriculture land preservation, and help with environmental review of development, transportation, and energy projects for those agricultural impacts. This division also works on diversifying agricultural production opportunities, as you were asking about, Representative Hansen, and has done a lot to expand the use and production of organic and specialty crops, looking at alternative crop productions in Minnesota, and also the growth of that urban and exurban agriculture and local food in Minnesota. Finally, under the Development and Financial Assistance, we have the Rural Finance Authority, which is user finance bonding and loans.
Excuse me, Ms. Cheney. Representative Morrow?
I'm sorry, Chair Hamilton, Ms. Cheney, I'm cutting you off in the middle of the slide I wanted to ask you about, so I do apologize. And okay. This is on the RFA, I'm sorry. And I'm not sure if, Ms. Cheney, you all would be providing the information. It would be good, I think, for the committee to know the access, the request rates, if you will, on the low-interest loans. I'd like to know, are we using all the funds? Are they all being allocated? Do we have a pent-up demand for low-interest loans, the beginning farmer program? I'd like to get a sense of the demand out there and whether we're able to meet demand or whether there's an excess, whether we have more funding there than is being utilized.
Absolutely. That's a great question. Access to capital.
Ms. Cheney. Chairman, Representative Morrow, I actually have our division director from the Ag and Financial Development Division here and who can answer those questions. I don't know if you'd want to do that right now in the presentation or wait until we're done.
Why don't we have somebody come up and just answer Representative Morrow's question, if we would, please. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Peter Sheffert with the Department of Agriculture, serving as the Division Director for Ag Development and Financial Assistance and also the Executive Director of the Rural Finance Authority. In a quick answer, we have plenty of funds in that we are financed with user finance bonds, and so we only sell bonds on an as-needed basis for the RFA and use that money up, so we have try to keep the bank account small and only sell it, and then we charge an extra 1.5% of interest rate over what we sell it for to help pay for the program and do those things. So we don't have too much money. We don't have a lot of money either. It kind of is that break-even balance with most of the programs that we have. What we do is come back and ask you every 2 to 3 years for bonding authority. And so we're in the middle right now of a $35 million bonding authority that we got a couple years ago. We're fine for this year. We'll be back next legislative session, again asking for authority. That authority does not affect your bonding cap that you have as the state because of the user finance part of that, but it is authority that we ask to kind of give that checks and balances that we just don't have a free rein to do whatever we want.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I think my comment more is for you than for the testifier. I know that you and I both have areas where there's $5,000 an acre land and very difficult for beginning farmers to get started. This may not be the appropriate moment to have that discussion. How does the state interact, if at all, with beginning farmers? And are there ways in which we can improve beginning farmers' ability to get into farming?
Point well taken, and that may be for a whole nother meeting here in the near future. So any additional comments?
Would be glad, Chair and Representative, be glad to talk about that some more. I will say in a nutshell that about half of our loans that we do are with beginning farmers. We work in partnership with FSA as well, providing low-interest loans for them. Again, it's a partnership with local banks, FSA, and others that are out there. So I think the state is providing some services, but be glad to talk about them more in the future.
Right, thank you. Representative Morrow, any follow-ups?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chairman, and just one more thing on that. I wanted to mention that, as Mr. Sheffert acknowledged, they're user-financed bonds, not GO bonds, and they are usually handled not as part of a bonding bill, but as a separate bill because of that differentiation between GO bonds and user-financed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if, Mr. Chair, if you'd like me to still go through these numbers, but since I know Mr. Sheffert covered quite a bit of that, we issue about 90 loans per year under the Rural Finance Program, and then what Peter didn't talk about was the Ag BMP Loan Program, stands for Best Management Practices, and we, through this program, support conservation tillage equipment, structural erosion control, ag waste management, septic systems, and other areas. We issue about $15 million worth of loans per year, and that's approximately 750 loans. And we've issued about $156 million in loans since 1995, which has leveraged another $90 million of investment.
Thank you.
The budget for this division is about $7.3 million. And 1.36 of that is in the user financed RFA loans, about 22 employees. And the one thing I really wanted to highlight on this slide is I put a little box for clean water, and while it shows a sliver there, I did that just so that I'd remember to talk about it, because the actual base numbers are zero in the Clean Water Fund. We've received funding for the last several years for clean water activities through the legacy funds and through the Heritage Council, the clean water funds that are through that sales tax. And because they're always one-time funds, it comes back to zero. So I wanted to acknowledge that we've done a lot of work through that program, but there's no ongoing funding through that.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Cheney, I think we had appropriated $2 million for Emerald Ashmore, both for emergency response and for planning. And one, is that appropriation used up?
Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, I believe the answer to that question is yes. I can find out for sure whether it was all used up, but I'm fairly certain that it was. Also, on Tuesday, Mr. Chairman, you are having us back to talk about the regulatory side of our division, and all of our invasive pest control is housed in that division, so we'll have our expert here to talk about our work with invasive pests.
Representative Hansen?
Mr. Chair and Ms. Cheney, if it has been used up or if there's still some left, would it be safe to say that the demand was greater than the appropriation?
Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I would say yes, it was probably, that's safe to say.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Hansen. Ms. Cheney, please continue.
Finally, we have our agency services divisions, and that is finance and budget, which covers all of our accounting and bills payable, et cetera, payroll, information technology, human resources, and the commissioner's office, which is really responsible for a lot of the stakeholder outreach. The base budget for the agency services that are provided in Minnesota Department of Agriculture is about $14.5 million. There's about 38 employees in all of those different areas, and about a little more than half of that is general fund. Just a couple more sections in our department that I thought I would talk about today. One is grants and assistance. I think you've all heard of our ethanol producer payment program. That's really almost a pass-through program to ethanol plants. 16 plants participated since the beginning of the program, and 9 plants. All of the actual production payments are complete, and 9 plants are currently eligible for deficiency payments. Over the last couple of years, the appropriation for those ethanol producer payments has decreased a bit, so we have deferred the payments so that it just takes a little longer to complete those final payments. The last payments, if the appropriation were to stay the same for 2012 and 2013, the bulk of those last payments will be made in 2012, and about that's $14.72 million in 2012, and then about $300,000 in 2013. After those producer payments are complete, a program was created a couple years ago by the legislature called the Agricultural Growth Research and Innovation Program. And this program is really designed to capture whatever the emerging needs are in agriculture. When it was created, the Livestock Investment Grant Program and the Next Gen Energy Grant Program received some funding under this program. And the tails from the ethanol money was when the testimony in the legislature suggested that the tails from the ethanol money would eventually fund this program. And the expectation, I think, from legislators at that time was also that other programs would be brought in to be funded by that program so that we could really reach out to all sectors of the agricultural industry.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative and Ms. Cheney, talk about these grant programs. Is there anything that's being done or anything that is in place right now to help farmers who are dealing with stray voltage in dairy cattle?
Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, there is a program called the Dairy Development Teams, Dairy Development Profitability and Diagnostic Teams, which I talked a little bit about earlier. And that program is in our marketing division, and they provide that consultation with livestock producers who are experiencing many issues, including issues with stray voltage in their dairy farms. And some of those grants that are funded through that program can be used for stray voltage, for providing those assessments from on stray voltage.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cheney, do you know the results of those grants as far as the farmers getting help with that situation?
Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to have Ms. Kinney answer that question, if that's okay.
Ms. Kinney.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, we've had a number of requests, and we provide as much service and consultation as possible. We'll also help to work with key professionals in the industry to address the questions, in a sense bring the power company in and try to work out the provisions. I do know of some ongoing cases that have not been resolved at this point, but currently we're actively engaged in them.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Kinney, do you know what favorable results you've had as far as where the cases have been resolved?
Skinny.
I do know, I personally haven't been involved in them. I do know we've had one resolution. We've had another barn that has had to be rebuilt. Stray voltage is a severe issue, especially as it takes its toll on dairy cattle, and a lot of times they will not recover from that. So it's a starting over process. It's an investigation to identify the sources and really try to resolve where the issues are.
Representative Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is for another day, but we need to keep this in front of us.
Right. Representative Anderson, I did speak to a representative of the co-ops, both electric and dairy, on this issue, and I brought up your concern around this, along with Representative Erdahl's, and so we will be scheduling a meeting to visit on that as well. Right. Thank you. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cheney, can you tell me if there's any other renewable programs, renewable energy programs besides ethanol that the department is involved in or will be involved in the future?
Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ward, as far as grant programs, are you asking in particular about grant programs or just interactions?
Interactions.
Representative Ward.
Excuse me, yeah. Mr. Chair. Interactions.
Ms. Mr. Cheney. Chair, Representative Cheney. Ward, we have couple of people in our marketing division who work specifically on biofuels. It's all types of biofuels. I spoke a little bit about biodiesel and ethanol, but they're working with all sorts of innovative technology. Biobutanol, isobiobutanol? Biobutanol. Biobutanol, which is a new technological advancement that's a little bit like ethanol and can be used as a fuel, and there are a variety of other sort of green chemicals that the state has been in consultation with people on. We also have at the state, or at the Department of Agriculture, the Next Gen Energy Board, whose job it is to look into the types of next generation energy options that are out there, both from the industry development perspective and the feedstock perspective, and they also again focus on energy use at the existing facilities as well as water and other environmental actions that can be taken to make those facilities more efficient and environmentally friendly.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so, like Ms. Cheney, wind farms would come under that area right there that you're talking about?
Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ward, wind farms traditionally have not come under the Next Gen Energy Board. There are two boards at the state that work on energy. We have the Legislative Energy Commission, which is overseen by the Energy Committee, and we have the Next Gen Energy Board. And the Energy Board has really focused more on fuels issues than wind and electrical issues.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And being new to the committee, I'm just still educating myself all of these areas, so I appreciate the opportunity to ask these questions.
It's ongoing for all of us. Yeah, we appreciate the questions. Anything on algae, Ms. Cheney?
Chair Hamilton, I would be happy to get you some more information on algae. I know there are several advancements, some research and applications that are going on with the Metropolitan Council, actually, that are working on some, they've got some new things going on with algae there. I know that our staff have worked with the researchers that are looking into algae more and more here in the state. I don't know of any industry using algae within the state at this time, and that's something I can certainly get you more information on.
Right. Thank you. Please continue.
Mr. Chair, one more thing on the NextGen Energy Board. I did recently post to our website the latest report on the NextGen Energy Board produced by the board members, and that might be something of interest to the committee. I keep all of the legislative reports that the agency submits on our website, and I'd be happy to send you all an email with links to that if that's helpful. And there are also, as we proceed through the legislative session, I will also put all of the PowerPoints that we do and a variety of legislative fact sheets up on that website as well.
Thank you. Representative Szymanski, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Cheney, looking at your last slide there, the Livestock Investment Grant Program, and I know how popular that is with a lot of farmers. If the budget constraints weren't a problem, how much demand is there for a livestock investment grant program? In other words, if we had an open checkbook, how much demand would there be?
Ms. Cheney.
Can we have an estimate of that?
Ms. Cheney?
Mr. Chair, Representative Szymanski, I'm going to have Robin Kinney answer that question.
Ms. Kinney.
Mr. Chair and Representative Szymanski, we'll take your open checkbook. There is a great demand, and there is a need. This program has gone through two cycles, and it was set up as a competitive grant program. And there was indeed great interest. There were wonderful applications, and unfortunately, we could not fund them all. So if indeed an open checkbook is down the road in the future, we'd certainly like to work with you on that.
Probably not in the immediate future, but Representative Szymanski?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chair, we also do a variety of other small grants. These are mostly pass-through sorts of grants and financial assistance that we provide to a variety of different organizations as directed by the legislature. The total biennial base budget for all of our grants and assistance is $6.87 million. That doesn't include the ethanol producer payments. And we have about 1.5 employees that work on just overseeing and facilitating that grant distribution process. I've listed on here the various pass-through grants that we receive, starting with the state fairs, the Poultry Association, Livestock Association, Livestock Association, Northern Crop Institute, Horticultural Society, Turf Research, Farmers Markets, Farm Advocates, Mental Health Counseling, Milk Grants, and the Minnesota Ag Education Leadership Council. And that's it for today, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any more questions that you have.
All right. I think Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions, Ms. Cheney, again, back on the biofuels thing. I love blender pumps. You didn't tell us how many blender pumps we have in the state, and are there any grant programs left to help the stations put in blender pumps?
Ms. Cheney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, we actually do not oversee the blender pumps in the state. We do work with the Department of Commerce on that. The Office of Energy Security is actually the one responsible, and the grant program, there used to be a grant program on that. It's housed at the Department of Commerce, Office of Energy Security, and we, like I said, have worked with them fairly closely, but I don't actually know how many of those grants, how much of that grant money is still available, and I don't know how many blender pumps there are in the state. I could certainly get that information for you, Mr. Chair, Representative.
Representative Anderson?
One more follow-up. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. You also mentioned that the total biofuel capacity in the state was about 1 billion gallons. Any numbers on what the actual production was last year? and if in fact the production of biodiesel or soy oil diesel decreased last year because of the loss of that federal tax credit for bio. What effect did that have on Minnesota's production?
Ms. Cheney, could you answer that question, or do we have someone here that could?
I think, Mr. Chair, that I'm going to have Kurt Markham come up and answer that question, but I also have a handout that I can give on just the biofuels industry in Minnesota that I can certainly make available to people.
Okay. Mr. Markham?
Mr. Chair, Representative, currently we've just published a new brochure on the 2010-2011 biofuel industries in Minnesota, and Cheney has those. We have a little over 1 billion gallons of capacity. Mm-hmm. Last year, we'll say 2010, the numbers are going to come out right around 850 million gallons of production. Some plants are a little gray on reporting, but we're usually plus or minus about 1 or 2% with that number. And that number is in this book, and we'd be happy to get those to the committee administrator to have those handed out or whatever the chair would decide in the future.
All right. Thank you. Representative Anderson.
And again, comparing that to 09, for example, was that a decrease in production, particularly in the soy oil?
Smart.
Mr. Chair, Representative, in terms of the biodiesel, capacity in the state is a little over 60 million gallons, but the number that we have is those plants ran at about 8% of the capacity number. Because of the lack of the federal credit, a lot of them scaled back production or stopped and sold off their inventory. Now, in 2011, with the dollar back, we expect an increase of much more than just the 8% of capacity.
Representative Anderson? All right, thank you. Representative Ward?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Markham, before you leave, you mentioned that some of the plants were gray in their reporting. Why is a plant gray in their reporting?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, not all of the plants in Minnesota are cooperatives or cooperative LLC owned by farmers, an example being ADM and Marshall.
Representative Ward? Representative Falk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess this is a question and a comment to Ms. Cheney. And the first is, can you explain kind of the, we all know that we're faced with budgetary shortfalls coming this year. What type of a cut did the department take over the last biennium? What can you absorb? What are we looking at funding requirements going forward? And then maybe more of a commentary, or comment here, looking at the ethanol producer payments as they're set to, you know, sunset in the near future, we'd like to essentially, I think the members of the committee are probably fairly supportive of keeping those within the agriculture department. That may not be the same opinion shared by the rest of the legislature. And so I think it's important for us to go and have some ideas about how to use that funding or what the next program should be, not just to have the thought that it's going to expire and then we're going to develop that next plan of action for those resources. And so maybe as a comment is to ask the department to start looking at what is the next use of that money and use it in a very targeted way. We're going to, you know, whether it's cellulosic ethanol, whether it's some other form of biofuels, whether it's investing in different types of crops. But I'm challenging the department to have a directed focus for that, because I think if there is a directed focus, we'll have a much better chance of being able to keep that resource available to agriculture.
Ms. Cheney?
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, I'll be happy to work with you on getting some ideas together for the committee. As for the budget numbers, I don't have last year's budget numbers with me at this time, but I would be happy to get for you the difference between the between our base budget now and what it was a couple of years ago.
And Representative Falk, we do plan on having a hearing on that as well. Representative Falk?
Well, if I could follow up, thank you, Mr. Chair, that please make those numbers available to all the committee members, because I think it's all going to be useful for us to understand what we're dealing with, as agriculture is such a small part of the state's budget, and looking for it to solve the enormity of the budget situation, I think, is asking a lot from this small area.
And Representative Falk, you're absolutely right. And And serving on this committee in the past, that's one of the reasons why we did form that AGRA account, so we could capture those. But you're right, we need to have additional direction as well. Yeah, very well. Any other questions, members? Okay. All right, Ms. Cheney, thank you. The next meeting, members, will be held on next Tuesday, January 18th. And we're going to have the agency back here to talk in addition to the regulatory divisions. So with that, seeing no questions or comments, or Representative Ward, wise remarks. I'm just teasing. I always had a teacher that said that. So, all right, meeting adjourned.